Please call the case.
Case number SCWC 11-374, State versus Amaral. Arguing for the petitioner, Kevin O'Grady. Arguing for the respondent, Brian Vincent. Argument on the merits.
Good morning, Mr. O'Grady and Mr. Vincent. Are you both ready to proceed?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. O'Grady, you've reserved 10 minutes for rebuttal, so a yellow light will come on to warn you when you get to that point in your argument. Mr. Vincent will warn you with 5 minutes to go. Please proceed, Mr. O'Grady. Thank you. And let me start by also just apologizing to you for being a little bit late today. We ran over from our prior argument, so sorry for any inconvenience to our parties.
No, Your Honor. Thank you very much. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, Kevin O'Grady on behalf of Mr. Amaral. In order to lay a proper foundation for a measuring device, whether a laser gun, an infrared spectrometry device, or a scale, the proponent of the case, in this case the government, must establish based on personal knowledge that the device has been properly calibrated, that there are manufacturer's recommended procedures for testing or verifying and validating, that the device was in proper working order, that the operator of the device was properly trained in those procedures, and that the operator properly performed those procedures on a particular day, and that there are manufacturer recommended procedures for the proper use of the measuring device, and or through the nature and extent of the operator's training and experience, the operation on that particular day was proper. In this particular case, the government had failed to do that, and the Intermediate Court of Appeals erred in determining that sufficient foundation was laid. As evidenced by the record, in this particular case, the government failed with regard to the calibration. The officer indicated that he had no personal knowledge. I point out that in Maneva, in that particular case, the expert knew of calibration by a service representative that appeared, and he assumed that it was done properly, and that was deemed not okay and was insufficient foundation in that particular case. Here, this officer indicates that in the entire time that he had had the laser gun, to his knowledge, it had never been calibrated. He never knew of any service representative or any initial calibration of the device. With regard to the proper training of the testing procedures, as indicated in the record, the officer admitted that there was no measure of failure, none whatsoever. He used the term that he was certified. However, the government did not produce any evidence as to what exactly that means. That is, under Gonzales, that what constitutes certification meets the manufacturer's recommendations for the training, maintenance, calibration, and use of the device. The problem here is that the terms are undefined and that the officer is proceeding in a conclusory fashion. If, for example, someone had indicated that they had a bachelor's degree, and a bachelor's degree was defined as 124 credit hours at an accredited university, we could look up each of those terms. We know what a credit hour is. We know whether or not a university is an accredited institution. Here, the officer just says the word certified, but he doesn't make the connection, and he failed to make the connection as to what exactly the manufacturer's recommendations were with regard to the operation or the maintenance of the machine.
What if there were no manufacturer recommendations?
Well, it seems to me from the record that the officer says that there are, in fact, that. And I point that to, he says that he was trained to operate it according to the manual. This is on page 12 of the record. He says on page 25, the question was, did you operate the laser in accordance with the training manufacturers and recommended procedures? And his training is based upon the manual. His answer was yes. So the officer believes, and the proponent of the evidence in this case, the government believes, that there are manufacturer recommended procedures, excuse me, for the operation of this particular device.
No, I meant training. I said training. Clearly, there are manufacturer recommendations for how to operate it. Are there manufacturer, does the record indicate there are manufacturer recommendations for the training? And if there aren't any, what happens then?
Your Honor, again, and thank you for the question, Mr. Chief Justice. The proponent of the evidence seems to, by the evidence adduced at the case, say that there is some procedure for the training. I was trained according to the manufacturer's recommendations. That's what the officer says. So there is some training, but it is unclear because the government failed to connect the dots what that is. I go back to my example of a bachelor's degree. If a bachelor's degree is 124 hours, then we know if you say that you've gotten the degree, that you've gotten 124 hours at least. We don't know. Now, the nature and extent of the training, as explained by the officer, was 4 hours. 4 hours classroom followed by 4 hours of practice training is what he said. And that's what he said on cross-examination. It was practice, not practical. It was practice. There was no measure of failure. So it's hard to figure out exactly what the recommendations of the manufacturer are. And again, this is up to the proponent of the evidence to submit that. Gonzalez says there either have to be manufacturer's recommendations or by training and experience, he has to show that he's operating it correctly. All we know from the record is that he's used it hundreds of times, perhaps thousands of times. In and of itself, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's been doing it according to what he says. There are manufacturer's procedures for the operation of the device.
I'm sorry, didn't he testify that he performed the four tests in accordance with the manual?
Yes, Your Honor. And there's a question regarding, there are a lot of terms between, from Kylo up into Gonzalez through Long and Wallace and Maneva. There are different terms that the court has used. One of the terms is verifying and accuracy. That seems to be, if you look at Asai, that the device was operating on a particular day the way it was intended to operate. And so Asai says the officer has testified that those four tests, in this case the four tests that the court is alluding, that you're referencing, John, that those are used for verifying the gun, the laser gun. However, those four tests don't say how to operate it, they don't say how to maintain it, and they don't address how the laser gun is named, calibrated. So there's no evidence with regard to proper calibration, there's no evidence induced with regard to proper maintenance. On the particular day in question, he said that he used the four tests. Now, with regard to those four tests, even he himself apparently testified that he didn't perform them according to what the manufacturer recommends. He pointed out that he used two particular distances, and in cross-examination, a page of the manual was shown to him, and it was stated that the distance that should be used is 175 feet. He actually testified on direct examination for using two other distances. So, in addition to there not being any calibration evidence, nor maintenance evidence produced at trial, with regard to the question of whether or not the four tests, which Asai says are those tests that the manufacturer recommends to verify the proper use of it, I'm sorry, the accuracy of it, whether or not it's properly functioning on a particular day. In this particular case, he even testified that he didn't follow the manufacturer's instructions.
But you assume that there is a calibration procedure other than the four tests. Isn't that the assumption of your question?
I think all of the cases, and that's an excellent question, Mr. Chief Justice, all of the cases from Maneva through Long and Wallace say that there's a calibration of the device from somewhere. In Maneva, there was no record that the device, the expert there could not testify as to whether or not the device had been properly calibrated. He believed that a service representative came by and calibrated it once or twice a year, and he assumed it was done properly. The record indicates, just so happened I was the trial attorney, the record indicates that this officer on examination indicated that he did not receive this particular laser gun fresh out of the box with any sort of a calibration certificate or anything. He had gotten it from somewhere else. So I think it is inappropriate, especially for foundation purposes, to assume that there was a calibration done at some point when the device was created and that it exists somewhere.
My point is, how do we even know there was a calibration procedure other than the four tests? Maybe this particular gun, as long as the four tests works, it is calibrated as far as the manufacturer is concerned. How do we not know that fact?
Well, Mr. Chief Justice, an excellent question. It seems to me that this is a scientific measuring device. And I think that if you look back at Maneva, that was a scale. It was a scale for measuring the weight of an item. Certainly, if something as simple as that can be calibrated to ensure that it's reading accurately, a device which came by much later, a laser gun, could certainly stand calibration. And also, the proponent of the evidence, if in fact it is actually so that this device never needs calibration, you can get it out of the box and you can get it from somebody 5 years later and there's no certificate of calibrations, that would be up to the proponent of the evidence to prove that.
Well, wasn't he asked the question, did you operate the laser in accordance with your training and the manufacturer's recommended procedure? Answer, yes. Can it be argued that that answer was in effect established the foundation that you're talking about?
No, Mr. Chief Justice, and here's why. First, that question addresses two parts, the tests for the day and the operation. It does not address calibration. That was a separate question. The question asked by the prosecutor that I believe you're referring to in the record was whether or not he was trained to use it and whether or not he used it according to the manufacturer's recommendations. And he said, yes. First, it's a conclusory answer. And on cross-examination, he showed that, in fact, he had not tested the device according to the manufacturer's recommendations because they recommended a specific device. In closing argument, the prosecutor conceded as much, saying, yes, it's a recommendation. In the appellate briefs, the government also conceded it's a recommendation. If I'm correct, they conceded that at some point. But what they're saying is it's just a recommendation. Well, this court has used the terms manufacturer's recommendations, not manufacturer's requirements. It's manufacturer's recommendations. But going back to your question, Mr. Chief Justice, the conclusory answer of the officer that he used it appropriately according to manufacturer's specifications does not answer calibration and maintenance. What he answered was, I was trained to do these four tests. And he answered, and I used it the way I was trained. Now, if we go back to the nature and extent of his training, basically what he said was there was no written test that he could remember, and there was also no practical test when the 4 hours that were outside that were by the track.
When he's asked about the internal operation, and he himself brings up, he says, I'm not an employee. I don't calibrate.
Yes.
I just conduct those four tests. That's it. It seems there must be a calibration mechanism because if he's saying, I don't do that, then one would assume the flip side of that is that there must be some sort of calibration procedure or test that can be done beyond the four tests.
Yes, Justice Powell, that's exactly true. And I point that out, I believe, in the appellate brief that he says, I don't calibrate it. That presumes that calibration was done at some point by someone else. And again, I go back to Maneva. In Maneva, he said, I was trained to operate it. I know how to operate it. And somebody else calibrates it. I don't know how it works on the inside. I know how to push the button to make it work that day. And in that instance, the court deemed that his knowledge was not personal knowledge, and he could not say whether or not the device was properly calibrated. Also, the Maneva court pointed out that the calibration question can be provided through various means. This happens to be a civil speeding case. So a business records exception to hearsay might be able to get in those records of initial calibration and maintenance. Because this is a civil speeding case and not a criminal case, we don't have to worry about confrontation or other issues. But the proponent of the evidence did not submit any of that documentation. What we have from the officer is, I never calibrated it, I don't calibrate it, I don't know how to calibrate it. All I know is how to use those tests on a particular day. That's very similar to the Maneva case, where the scientist there said that all he knows how to do is to press the buttons to make sure it's operating that day, but he can't say anything about calibration other than, in that particular instance, there was a manufacturer service representative who came out and calibrated it once or twice a year, and the court still deemed that that was insufficient because he didn't have personal knowledge that the calibration was done properly. Here, the officer testified that, in fact, to his knowledge, it's never been calibrated. He's just possessed it for 2 years. And to his knowledge, it's never been calibrated while it was in his possession. All he knows how to do is those four tests. I also point out, with regard to the particular test that he used for, in this court's words, verifying the accuracy, and that is taken from Asai and from Maneva, verifying the accuracy of the device on the particular day, he didn't follow the manufacturers. Although he says in one statement on direct, yes, I did everything that I was supposed to, on cross-examination, he admitted that the distances used were not those recommended by the manufacturer.
In Gonzalez, didn't we consider essentially the same type of evidence and concluded that it was sufficient evidence with regard to the testing of the gun on that day? In other words, the officer testified he had a manual, there were four procedures, he observed those procedures. There was a question about whether that was a manufacturer's manual. We concluded there was enough evidence for the trial court to so conclude, and we concluded that that was sufficient that the laser gun's accuracy was tested according to procedures recommended by the manufacturer. Now, we had an issue regarding training of the officer, but in terms of the accuracy, we said that was enough.
Well, Your Honor, if Mr. Chief Justice, if I may, that's an excellent point. The way I read Gonzales, what it says is that if the officer testifies, the manufacturer's recommended procedures for testing the accuracy of the gun are these four tests, then we know he's satisfied that prong, which is there have to be tests. What are they? He has now laid them out. If he then says, I did them all according to what I'm supposed to do, the tests that say that I'm supposed to do 1, 2, and 3, and I did 1, 2, and 3, then that would mean he met that prong as well. Here, we don't have that. He says, I am told that these are the four tests to verify the accuracy of the laser gun. Asai says, fine, we understand that those are the four tests from LTI. He then says, I did them in a conclusory fashion. I did them according to what I was taught. But cross-examination revealed, in fact, he did not. He admitted that he used the distance otherwise. So his conclusory statement that, yes, I did it the way I was supposed to, is now no longer valid.
But you're saying, contrary to Gonzales, there was an affirmative obligation on the part of the prosecution to put in evidence that there was no calibration procedure or that it was only the four tests? And failing doing that, then there's not enough foundation?
Yes, Mr. Chief Justice. I think that if you read from Long through Wallace through Maneva, and Maneva is very instructive. Maneva says that there was no proof that the chemist, I believe it was the chemist in that particular case, had any personal knowledge that the device, in that case a simple scale for weighing things, had been calibrated. He knew how to use it on a particular day, but he couldn't say anything about the calibration. And that was a device that they had purchased and they had actually calibrated by a service representative. But that was insufficient, despite the fact that he knew that somebody came out once or twice a year. He couldn't say whether or not the calibration was proper. So if we go back to Justice Pollack's question, if his statement, I don't calibrate it, means implicitly that it is calibrated, then we have no evidence that it was ever calibrated in this particular case because he has no information about it. He says, I don't calibrate it. I just do the four tests that day, every day, when I go and I use it. If that's an erroneous assumption based upon the officer's direct testimony, it would be up to the proponent of the evidence to indicate there is no calibration. This device never comes calibrated.
But wasn't he asked, I'm just reading the transcript, officer, did the instructions specify to test the LTI 2020 to ensure it's working accurately and being operated properly? Answer, yes. Was your training in using the LTI 2020 based on those instructions from the manufacturer? Yes. How many tests are there? There is four tests. So isn't that, couldn't the trial court listen to that and conclude that the four tests were those, the four tests that the manufacturer deemed necessary to ensure that the device was working properly? And you're basically asking us to speculate based on this one passage where he said, I don't calibrate it, to assume that there was an entire calibration procedure separate and apart from the four tests, which, by the way, we found was okay in Gonzales.
With respect, Mr. Chief Justice, I think that in Gonzales, the issue of whether or not the device had ever been properly calibrated from its creation was not addressed. And I think in Maneva, the issue of calibration of the device from inception was addressed.
Okay, so put aside that piece. What about how many tests are there? There's four tests, and then he goes through the four tests. Why isn't that enough for the trial court to conclude that that is the universe of testing that the manufacturer has designated for this device?
Well, because in this particular case, Mr. Chief Justice, they did not make that clear. If, for example, the manual was submitted into evidence and the manual indicated you don't need to do anything with regard to this device, it is never calibrated, all you have to do is these four tests and it works.
Well, you had the manual, right?
I had a copy of the manual.
Does the manual show that there is a calibration procedure other than these four tests?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't have the manual with me. However, it's up to the proponent of the evidence to submit that. Again, if I refer back to Justice Pollack's question.
Well, at some point, the officer's asked, do you calibrate? He goes, I don't calibrate. In a way, that's a very cautious answer. You know, he's not saying, I don't know that the thing is never calibrated. He's just saying, I don't calibrate.
Well, I think it would be.
That's enough to suggest that there's a calibration procedure, even though the manual doesn't show it?
Well, Mr. Chief Justice, that's an excellent question, but what I'm fearful of is this is a scientific measuring device. If a scientific measuring device is not calibrated from the onset, nobody's to say whether or not at any point in its creation whether or not it was working properly. If
that's why you have the manufacturer do a manual and you train people in the manual, because presumably the manufacturer understands its product and puts the manual out on the market with the manual that tells, puts the product out on the market with the manual that tells the operator this is what you need to do to get an accurate reading.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Chief Justice, taking from something else outside of the record, therefore are, for example, breath alcohol testing devices that people buy on their own to protect themselves in case they are out drinking. In some of those devices, it says, this device doesn't need calibration. The reason is, it's a non-evidential testing device. It's not supposed to be entirely accurate. And I understand that my time is running out. I'd like the opportunity to answer the question.
You can finish it up.
So it seems to me that if you have a scientific measuring device, and in fact there are no calibration requirements, then the proponent of the evidence would, it would be easy for the proponent of the evidence to say so. However, because it is a scientific measuring device, and in this particular case, the only basis for the finding of responsible for the for Mr. Amaral was based upon the laser gun, then we need to know that the laser gun was calibrated from inception and then properly maintained and operated, and that he was trained accordingly. With regard to the training, what he says is, I was trained according to the manufacturer's requirements, but he doesn't say what the requirements are. It's, again, a very conclusory item. And there'd be no way for anyone to counter the officer's bald assertions if all it is I was trained to use it correctly, I used it correctly, I was trained to operate it correctly and maintain it correctly, and I did all those things without anything else.
In SAA, there is a reference to the LPI 2020 laser instrument, right?
I'm sorry, there's a reference where, Justice?
In SAA.
In SAA, yes.
It was the LPI 2020, which was instrument used here, right?
Yes, it's the same instrument.
And I guess in oral argument, this is just information, I guess, where the prosecution was asked if the officer had to maintain an inspection. The laser gun had to be maintained and inspected periodically, and the prosecution said it's not part of the record. I believe they are once a year, and I believe there's a record log kept somewhere, but I don't believe that's come out in any of these cases. So I guess you would assume that the laser guns at some point are either maintained or calibrated or tested as to their accuracy, although the police officers wouldn't be the ones who would do that.
Yes, Justice Acoba. In this particular case, I don't believe there was any questioning with regard to the maintenance records. However, as you point out, in Asai, and I believe in at least one other case, I believe it was Officer Franks that testified that there are, in fact, maintenance records, and they're kept by the traffic division or something. So it begs the question what they're maintaining. And so I think that with all due respect, Mr. Chief Justice, that those maintenance records tell us that there's calibration and maintenance going on somewhere else above and beyond the four tests that are indicated for the particular day's use.
Well, thank you. Mr. Vincent.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First of all, there are manufacturers recommended procedures for testing and operating the laser speed gun, and they're contained in the manual, okay, which, as you noted, defense attorney had access to.
None of that's in the record, right? I know that he received it, but I'm talking about the contents of that thing that he just
No, that's out. Not part of the record at this point. The officer referred to them, okay.
And there's like four different manuals, it seems like.
There are four different manuals. Okay, one is this. This is the operator's manual, which I believe is shipped with the device itself when it comes in its packaging, right? There's two manuals which the HPD has formulated. One's the operator's manual, operator's training manual, and the other one is the instructor's manual for use by instructors. They're actually, the instructor gets one that's, it's all these, okay? And the last pages are the actual operator's training manual. Also, what's provided is a manual for the marksman, which is an older model. It's the one that was used back in the 90s. I don't know if the HPE uses that particular model of spade laser speed gun anymore. There might be a few of them around. I don't see them very much mentioned anymore. And what I would remark is there's nothing inconsistent in all these manuals, okay? And I believe there was. The defendant probably would bring that up. First thing, I'd like to... I think there's two different meanings of calibration, okay, that people think of when they think of calibration. I think most people think of calibration as something you actually physically do to bring the instrument into accordance with the, you know, to make it accurate, right? For example, in a guitar, you turn the key in order to tighten up the string or loosen it up, right? In that sense, the only calibration HPED does on these instruments is the scope alignment. That's the only thing they really can meaningfully do, okay? The scope on the top is connected by a screw, and if you drop it on the floor, sometimes the scope can get out of alignment. And it's easy to do, it's easy for a layperson to align the scope, put it in a device, you aim it at the laser beam on an object, and you verify that the red dot on the little sight matches what the laser beam is hitting, right? Everything else goes back to manufacturing, okay? And there's nothing in the manual about there needing to be any regular maintenance.
How do you know that if it's not working?
There's
How do you know if it's not overestimating the speed underestimating the speed?
Okay, sorry. The second meaning of calibration is just testing, okay? And I think people think about calibration as being just testing, okay? And the testing is done by doing the four tests. So in that sense, although the officer maybe misunderstood the meaning of calibration, he is actually calibrating the instrument every single time he takes it out to be used for a shift, okay? And first of all, the instrument has basically computerized, generated self-checking device. Okay, the same as you turn the computer, it checks all the various devices that are attached to your computer and so forth, and make sure that they're operating properly. Okay? If they're not, an error message pops up in the window of the display for the LTI. Okay, and when these other place show up, the officers are told to take it back to the manufacturer. Send it back to the manufacturer and have them fix it.
In this case, was there testimony? The officer did testify that he did the four tests, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And did he testify that the laser gun, he was asked whether it was working properly and accurately, correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So how does that aspect of this case differ then from Gonzalez?
I would say it doesn't differ in that respect.
Okay, so what about the training issue?
The training issue is the officer several times was asked, whether or not, he stated several times, page 15 and page 22 of the transcripts, that his training using the laser gun was based on the instructions in the manual, okay? Now, the manual doesn't have any specific instructions as to, for example, how many hours you need to do it, what particular types of training, and so forth, okay? So in that sense, the record is not clear what the training...
Was there cross-examination on the issue of what kind of training was required in the manual?
Yes, yes, there was. He asked him whether he received a test and so forth, but defendant never show where in the manual where there was any kind of requirement that there should be a written test. Okay? And I can tell you, looking at the manuals, there is no requirement in the manuals for a written test.
He testified that he was trained pursuant to what was in the manual.
That's correct. Uh-huh. And we feel that that's sufficient because the manual lays out pretty thoroughly what the maintenance, testing, and operation requirements of the device are.
Well, I think Chief Judge Nakamura's point is that that information should have been put out on the record, whether through the manual coming in or through further examination of the witness. What's your response to that?
I mean, I suppose we could enter this manual. We could enter the manuals in every single case we have, in every single speeding case we have. It's a lot of speed, a lot of speeding cases every year. We're reluctant to just willy-nilly enter a manual into evidence every single time we have a speeding case.
Why not ask the officer a couple questions?
That's true. He could have asked the questions. Could have asked him, or even given him the manual and asked him to refresh his recollection as to what, as to what the manual says about that particular aspect. And that's something we consider in the future. There was no specific evidence in this case that was adduced from the officer. Okay? He just testified that he did it according. He was trained according to the manual. They tested according to the manual, and they operated according to the manual. In addition, I think that the fact that he did testify that he operated according to the manual, and the fact that he did operate according to the manual is strong circumstantial evidence that he was trained sufficiently to use this.
Does the HPD manual set out parameters about hours and under what specify?
There's nothing in the record, and there's nothing in these manuals that would indicate that there's any specific hours. Okay, we've talked to the manufacturer about this, and we may adduce some evidence at some point as to what they think.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
We may adduce some evidence sometime in the future as to what they think is sufficient. Okay, I talked with the manufacturer myself, and their attitude they build the equipment. They know all about the technical, specifications of the equipment, and so forth. But HPD is in the business of training officers, okay? And they're in a better position to know how long it takes to get this information in the manual into the officer's head, okay? They can set out some standard times, nature, of the training that they think it might be appropriate in our case, but they're going to rely on us to determine that the officers, each individual officer who graduates from the HPD Academy is going to know enough to operate this.
He says he was trained by Sergeant Nishibun, but we don't know what that training is like or what it encompasses.
He just said he received 4 hours classroom training and 4 hours practical training, I believe, if I remember.
You said these instruments are sent back to the manufacturer. Are they sent back on a regular
basis?
No,
they're not, Your Honor. And I was, obviously, I was the deputy in the SAE. And I think I maybe overstated what I said to you, Your Honor. I think I was told by one police officer that he goes back every year, but I think that was mainly an inventory kind of thing. They check to make sure that they're proper working, they're not proper working order, but that they're not damaged and so forth, and that they're checked out with the person who they say they're checked out to and so forth.
You just mentioned that you've talked to the manufacturer's representative, and I understand it's not on the record or anything like that,
correct.
And they kind of said, well, the ball's in your court, but I've read transcripts where representatives from the manufacturer has come out and been certified and conducted training for whole portions of the police department.
That's right. They have come out on occasions. Uh-huh.
And so none of that's here.
That's correct. The average recruit who goes through the HB Academy is not going to have access to that kind of information. I mean, if you get an officer who is sergeant or a trainer there, they'll know that kind of information. But this officer on Diego, I don't think he has that kind of experience or personal knowledge as to what the LTI representatives are saying. So he has to rely on what and we believe that the manual is the best evidence of what led.
But you're making us trust that the person read the manual correctly. Plus, we don't know which of the four manuals and which of the manuals, whether it's the police department's manual or LTI's manual, that the person got it right. And thereafter, for the next thousands of times that they use it, they're testing it internally. And now we find out it may not even be calibrated. I mean, there's a lot of trust that goes involved with this device that is apparently carried around in a trunk for years. And I don't know, it's just... seems to me if they're going to be tested, I mean, if they're going to go through training, that at least they can be given some sort of certificate or something that says, look, you know, we've received training. That training was by the manufacturer, pursuant to their requirements or something.
I'm not sure how much a certificate is going to add additional reliability to the training aspect of it. We think that, you know, we've given the defense counsel, you know, the manuals, and it gives them full scope to cross-examine, you know, the officer on that. And in fact, in this case, he did cross-examine the officer on that. And I would mention two points that counsel.
So is that happening on a routine basis now? The defense counsel, if asked for, requests a manual. They're given the manual that the understanding of the deputy prosecuting attorney was provided to the officer in that
this
case.
This is a standard order regarding production of a laser technology appropriate manuals. So any defense attorney in a speeding case who wants these four manuals can obtain it. And many of them don't even bother because they have copies from previous cases. So they they have a copy there. Okay. With respect to the testing, and I think the defense counsel has called into question whether or not he testified inconsistently with a manual, okay? And he raised two points at trial, one he raised here as well, and that was that the specific distances that were recommended in the manual were not used when it was tested, right? But and I would just read what it says from the manual. For uniformity, it should be 175 feet from the shooting mark to ensure that it's necessary to use a medical tape to measure it. Okay? It says, in the next sentence, if there is insufficient space available, that specific distance is not crucial. However, the distance between the target and the shooting mark must be a multiple of 1 foot. A fraction of 1 foot will not do. So the fact that it was done at 155 feet and 130 feet rather than 175 and 150 feet, okay, is not inconsistent with what the manual says. The other thing is that at trial he raised the issue to the officer as to whether or not he'd done a time over distance or fixed distance test. Okay, again, on the page earlier in the manual, okay, it says that LTI recommends that one of the tests be performed in the instrument each time it is on duty. Okay, one of the either the fixed distance test or the delta distance test. Okay. So there's nothing in the officer's testimony that is in any way consistent with the manual. So
I didn't understand, or I didn't hear, I guess, your answer on sending these instruments back to the manufacturer. I mean, are they good forever, or is there some point at which they have to be checked?
From my understanding, what the manufacturer is telling me is that they're good until you get an error message, and when you get an error message, send it back. Okay. And these have solid state chips in them. Okay, there's really nothing you can really fix. I don't think there's really anything you can really fix here in the field. It's something that's got to go back to the manufacturer and install a whole new chip. You know, whatever it is. I was going to mention, okay, so the first one was a self-test, right? And that was, you're going to have an error message in the display, right? Okay, the second one was the display test. The display test is a very easy test, okay? You just make sure all the diodes in the LED display are working, okay? It's nothing very complicated about that. Again, if the diode is not displaying on the display thing, you just got to send it back and get a new display put in the instrument. The scope alignment, I guess, is the one you can actually calibrate in the sense that you can actually tweak it to make the scope agree with where the laser beam is going. Okay, and the last one is the delta distance calibration or delta distance test. And again, if you get a number that's more than a foot off, if you get a number that's more than a foot off, that's an error. You get to send it back. It means that probably the timing device and the instrument is not working correctly. It's a very sophisticated, I guess, diode in there that measures time. Okay. Which calculates distance and speed by the time it takes the laser beam to reach the object and rebounds back. Any questions, Jim?
No, just one observation. In effect, we have nothing in the record to verify how accurate these instruments are and how long they're good for. I mean,
we have the officer's test.
It only depends on whether the officer sees or perceives something is off on one of those four tests that results in these instruments being looked at.
Whether or not the officer perceives
from one of these four tests, yeah, right? Two of them, I think you said, might indicate to him that there's some problem with the instrument.
Well, all four could indicate that there's a problem with the instrument in some manner or the other. Okay. So, I mean, whether or not the officer does it, test it correctly, is a risk for cross-examination. And we believe that, if he's cross-examined and the judge believes his testimony as to whether he did it dutifully and properly, then it should be admissible.
I mean, maybe this is very simplistic, but I mean, you even take your car in, right, to make sure everything's working okay. But we're saying you never have to take these things in. And was there a life to these instruments? Is there at some point?
There's nothing in the manual that indicates there's any length of time that we need.
How long is the? Just curious, since you have the manual, how long is the warranty?
Front page here, it's a 1 year limited warranty. That's right.
And what's warranted for 1 year? Can you read that? I mean, you've been reading out of the manual.
Yeah,
so this is not in evidence, but what is the 1 year limited warranty?
Warranty validation card.
What's warranted for 1 year?
Laser technology warrants ultralight to be in good working order for a period of 1 year from the date of purchase. Should the product fail to be in good working order in the warranty period, LTPI will let its option repair replace the product with no additional charge. I think the warranty refers to whether or not it breaks. You're going to find out by an error message whether or not it's broken.
So your understanding of the manufacturer's position is that this device is good for as long as it passes those four tests.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
For an indefinite period of time, for as long as it passes those four tests, and it does not need any additional calibration other than those four tests. That's the manufacturer's position, and that's what HPD recruits are trained on?
I don't know whether they're trained on that
point.
I don't know whether they're trained on that, but whether they're told that. I mean, it would be nice if you said on the record that that's the way it works. But I just personally talked to the Roosevelt Walters, who's one of the managers at one of the four executive officers there at RTI. Doesn't expect us to send these things back on a regular kind of basis. I guess one last thing, this device is very simple. Okay, the technology is complex and sophisticated, but the device is designed so that anybody can use it. Okay, really child's play to use it. And we believe that there is sufficient foundation in this case to show that.
Child's play. And there was a couple tests that the police officers weren't even familiar with that could be done on the device that they had never done.
Are you referring to the fixed distance test?
Well, there was one time over distance.
Yeah, time over distance, yeah. As I explained, there's two tests. There's
well, I'm
two
glad instrument. You understand it, but...
There's two instrument confidence tests. One's the delta distance, one's the fixed distance test, okay? The instrument, as I quoted from the manual, you're only required to do... The manual only recommends that you do one, okay? I mean, optionally, you could do two. And the HPD says that... HPD would like everybody to do the delta distance for just standard uniformity and training and operation of the instruments. In that case, this officer was not familiar with that test because he doesn't. I don't know if he ever did it because he wasn't trained to do it. He was told that he didn't doesn't need to do it as part of his testing. Anything else?
No further questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Vincent. Mr. O'Grady, your rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. Let me address several points raised by opposing counsel. First, he stated that there's nothing inconsistent in the various manuals, which is not in evidence. And
Mr. O'Grady, can you pull the mic a little closer? Thank
I apologize.
No, no problem. I think.
And he also made the statement that according to the manual, which was not submitted into evidence, and I don't believe the officer testified to this either, that there was no need for maintenance. Yet a few minutes later, he said that the manual pretty thoroughly addressed the maintenance and operation, those things were addressed in the manual. Also, Justice Pollack, as you pointed out, there have been instances where the officers have testified that there are maintenance records. So if there are maintenance records, we don't know what they're doing and what has been happening to any of these particular devices. Also, opposing counsel would have you set the standards so low as to be that the officer testified that there are four tests, there are nothing more. Those four tests are recommended by the manufacturer. However, if compliance with them is not done because HPD deems that they only want to do one of the tests, that is sufficient. If the Maneva line of cases, which says that in order to know that this device is operating properly from calibration through maintenance and operation, you have to use the manufacturer's recommended procedures. And this court did not specify that they be required procedures. They said the recommended procedures.
I thought he said there was two procedures and you could do one or the other.
Again, that's not in evidence.
It's not in the manual?
I don't remember if there's a difference between. I know the two tests are in there. I don't know if it says you can choose one or the other. I know the two tests are in there.
But you had the manual, and you could cross-examine on that, right?
Yes, that's true. But my point is, as the proponent of the evidence says, there is this test. It's the recommended test of the manufacturer, and Asai, in this case occurred in trial before Asai was decided, but Asai said that if the officer testifies that the four procedures are recommended by the manufacturer, that is sufficient for the operation of the device in the particular day. Fair enough. In this particular case, the officer also testified that the way he did the tests was not according to the recommended distance. If the recommendation is, well, it's a recommendation, but you can ignore it, then it's not a recommendation at all, which brings the standard down to, well, you can do whatever you want. The recommendations say X, but you could ignore them if they're not necessary. Additionally, opposing counsel indicated that this is a simple device. It's a simple device in as much as there aren't that many moving parts on it. However, in Maneva, the device was a scale. A scale has been around for thousands of years to measure weights. The concept of a laser, the speed at which the laser bounces back, and the operation of the laser device, taking into consideration the object that it's pointing at, which is not a flat wall, but the front of a vehicle moving, that requires some sort of computer electronics and software, which the officer testified he's never updated. He has no idea what version software is on there. And that's important. If this is an electronic device, which is going to be based upon that machine making proper and accurate calculations, then the proponent of the evidence needs to submit that it was calibrated from the beginning and that it was properly maintained. Justice Acoba brought up a good analogy with regard to a car. For example, if a car says that you should change your oil every 2,500 miles, it doesn't mean that at 2,501 that the car is going to explode. What it means is that's the manufacturer's recommendations. If they are not followed, then the manufacturer is going to say you're not doing it the way you were supposed to, and there could be problems. In this case, the problem would be we can't verify whether or not it's accurate. And although this is a laser case, the line of cases from Maneva on addresses all scientific measuring devices, from infrared spectrometry devices to simple scales to laser guns. It is up to the proponent of the evidence to submit enough evidence to show that it was properly calibrated. Again, that comes from Long and Wallace and Maneva, all the way up through the proper maintenance of it. Now, if there's no maintenance required, the officer could say that. There is no maintenance required, which begs the question, then where are these devices going to when they're being maintained, if the officer says they're being maintained, and what records are being produced for maintenance if, in fact, there's no maintenance required. As a side note, Mr. Chief Justice, I noticed that you asked him a question about the manual. This case occurred some time ago. In this particular case, I received a copy of the manual. It is not, as opposing counsel states, that we get the manual all the time. In fact, the prosecutor's office forced us to file motions to compel. This is in criminal cases. And the order, which he referenced, which he held up here today, actually has boxes on it, which in some cases judges can mark off that either copies not be made or that it not be disseminated or it has to be destroyed after the case is over or returned to the prosecutor. So it just so happened for this particular case, I had a manual that had escaped a very stringent order before that came down the line and came to be right now, at least in this circuit, on this island. You don't get the manual unless you file a motion to compel in criminal cases, and then that order comes up, and it's up to the judge as to whether or not you get to make copies, whether or not you can keep it, whether or not you have to return it or destroy it. And I also point out in closing that opposing counsel stated that having the manual provides the opportunity for cross-examination. While that might be true, the proponent of the evidence has to lay down the foundation appropriately first. And also, if the foundation is such that the officer can testify, I'm telling you I was trained according to the manual, and I did everything according to the manual, and oh, it doesn't matter if the manual specified X because it also says I could do something else, then there is no standard. As was pointed out in the transcript, as is evident in the transcript, the officer indicated that for his training, there was no measure of failure. There was no written test that he could think of. There was no practical test. It was practice, is what he stated. And nobody in his class, to his knowledge, he may not know whether or not anybody actually did, but to his knowledge, yes, Justice McKenna.
Is the officer testifying as a lay witness or an expert witness?
It's an excellent question, Justice McKenna. The line of cases from Maneva on refers to these individuals as experts. It would be a chemist who was using a balance or a weight scale in that particular case. I think that the line of cases would seem to indicate that because it's a scientific measuring device, that he should be deemed an expert. He has to have specific training in the calibration, maintenance, operation of the device. And in this particular case, that was not present.
You can have a minute or two to wrap up, Mr. O'Grady.
I don't have anything else unless the panel has any additional questions.
Are there any other questions? If not, thank you very much to both of our counsel. The court will take this matter under advisement.